case for argument, School District versus DS, Ms. Hale.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be before this such an honorable court. Along with me today, I have ZS's grandmother, Judy Lilla George, who's sitting in the back. The focus in an IDEA case is on the unique needs of a disabled child.
Where is he now? What is his current age and status?
Your Honor, he is currently enrolled in the School District of Wisconsin Dells. His IEP has been modified to include autism. He is receiving services. He is attending two regular classes, reading and science. He excels in science. And Mrs. Little George has not received a single call from the school district requesting that she come and pick up her child.
How old is he?
He is now 13. He'll be 14 in August.
Okay, thanks. Go ahead.
Thank you. Districts are obligated to provide a free public education in the least restrictive environment. The district in this case failed to provide ZS with an appropriate education for his unique needs. Now, in essence, what they did is they had a round peg and they tried to put it in a square hole.
They labeled, you think they should have done what?
They labeled him as...
No, what is it you think they should have done?
Your Honor, they did not provide appropriate services that can...
Yeah, but concretely, what did you want them to do?
They should have provided him with a one-on-one aid.
In the classroom?
In the classroom, and to follow him through the school.
Is that what's happening now?
When he returned to school, there was a one-on-one aide. Yes, he has an aide that's been assigned to him. Before, there was an aide in the classroom, but not a one-on-one aide. And that has since changed since they've modified the IEP.
But he's only taking two classes, you say?
Oh, no. He's attending school full-time. He's in a special needs classroom, but he's in the mainstream, in the regular classroom, in reading and in science.
And he has this aide with him at all times?
Yes, he does.
In a special needs classroom, are there other one-on-one aides?
Not to my knowledge.
So that's he's the only one in the special needs classroom with a one-on-one aide?
Right, but that's not unusual in special needs classrooms. There are all kinds of disabilities that require one-on-one assistance, be it physical disability or other disabilities. They also did not consider the fact that he has autism. They looked at him as an ED child or a child with emotional disturbance and did not take in the unique characteristics of autism until after our hearing and after the modification of the IEP. There was a new teacher that was hired who had a background in autism, and that child's been able to attend class as a result of that because she knew how to deal with an autistic child.
Was he medically diagnosed as autistic?
He's medically diagnosed as PDD within the autistic spectrum. So yes, it's autism.
I don't know a lot about it, but it appeared that at the point of the ALJ's decision and the district court's decision that he hadn't really been medically, if that's the right word, diagnosed.
He was medically diagnosed back in 1995.
As being autistic.
As having PDD, right.
That doesn't mean anything to me. PDT as opposed to, or whatever it is, as opposed to being autistic.
Well, there's quite a range of autism. There's the type of autism where the child will rock and clap his hands. and not be very responsive. There's a type of autism where the child is nonverbal. This child is at the high end of autism. He's very functional, but he has great difficulty dealing with the world around him and the motion and the activity and the sound that go on around him. He has very extensive difficulty in dealing with that and communicating. He cannot focus, and therefore a lot of times if he's talking with somebody, he's distracted or he's not focused.
Why wouldn't a home be the proper environment since it's quieter?
IDEA provides that a school district is
obligated. I'm not asking a legal question. I'm asking a practical question. If the problem is, you know, distractibility and frightened of your surroundings and so on, and if the object is to get some education, why wouldn't it be best at home?
Because he doesn't get any socialization.
Yes, I know, but, you know, there's education, there's socialization. So from the educational standpoint, why wouldn't it be better for him to be at home?
He survived in
much... hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of children are being homeschooled, so
that's very
I see why that's such a bad alternative.
Well, number one, the school has an obligation to
provide
services.
I'm asking a practical question, not about obligations. Why isn't it a perfectly sensible... Why isn't homeschooling for a child with these problems, as you've described them, the perfectly sensible approach?
Because there are a lot more opportunities that are available to him through the school. He's able to experience not only the other children and socialization.
Yeah, but that's a bad thing. That interferes with his learning. How can he have regular social relations with other kids with an aid trailing him everywhere?
It's my understanding that as of late the aid is tapering off, and so the aid is not right with him. The aid was with him when he first started back to school, but that's been tapering off, and so the distance is becoming greater and greater.
And why is that?
Because he's able to, because of the foreshadowing, because he knows when he goes to what place, at what time, he knows exactly what's going to happen. And that did not take place when he was in fourth grade at Lake Delton School. He was having problems in the classroom. The teacher said, go outside. Bam, this kid just exploded. He couldn't deal with all the commotion on the playground. He couldn't deal with changing from the classroom to that environment without assistance. Now he has a pattern, he has a practice, he knows exactly where to go, what to do. Consistency is key. It's extremely important for a child like this. Consistency and pattern. For example, Your Honor, if they were playing a game and the children got up from their chairs, this child would be very upset if he could not return to the same chair that he left. Because that's change.
Mm-hmm. What do you want us to do with this case today?
Your Honor, we would ask that...
The circumstances that exist now are basically what you were asking for, are they not?
That's true.
So what are we to do now?
Well, we ask that the district court decision be reversed.
I understand that, but I mean, to what end?
Well,
for money.
I mean, that's Judge Posner's.
Is that it?
Well, there are attorney fees.
Yeah. Is that it, attorney fees?
There are attorney fees, but also the district court removed all other counterclaims that we had filed and stated that they were moot because they removed or they...
But I'm just pursuing Judge Kenney's question. You want attorney fees? What else do you want?
We would like to be
damages?
Able... Yes.
How are damages measured in a case like this?
That's an excellent question, Your Honor. It's very difficult. This child digressed.
Digressed? You mean...
Yes.
Regressed, I think you mean?
He went down.
Regressed.
Regressed. I'm sorry. I've been up since 2, so I'm sorry. Yes, he, as a result of all of the turmoil that he went through, the changes, the number of changes that he dealt with, the inappropriate dealings in dealing with his behaviors, he went backwards and had a lot of time to have to grow back through the progress that he had made. Mendota was very confident in the fact that he could go back to the public school, and he could have, if they would have dealt with him appropriately, if they would have looked at him as an autistic child, as they're doing today and as they did last year. And the child is blossoming.
That was the issue with the district court, wasn't it, on his autism? That of being designated autistic without, I guess, the whatever official diagnosis or something.
But he was diagnosed.
Well, is that where the district court went wrong, in your opinion, or where did she go wrong?
Well, there were 4 days, 4 full days of testimony that this ALJ heard, testimony and evidence. 2 of those days were focused only on the label. And our position is, yes, it's important to recognize the fact that this child is autistic, displays autistic behaviors, and you have to deal with him as an autistic child. But regardless of what label you place on that child, you have to look at each child's unique needs, unique disabilities. And they did not do that. They saw him as a child as having emotional disturbance and dealt with him only that way.
From the time he was 3 years old.
Most importantly, when he was in the 4th grade, that's when he had all kinds of problems because the teacher did not deal with him appropriately.
He made a mistake, the teacher?
Not just one. He was just not
well,
dealt
I guess
with
my question, more fundamental, my question is, do you believe that the school itself ignored him or just made a mistake in how they treated him?
We have to look back only 1 year, in the year of 1999. And during that year, they made major errors. They did not try to accommodate that child. They did not try to educate that child. Their focus was one thing, that was to get that child out of the district. There was testimony from the district that said otherwise, but the ALJ saw through that and said, this individual was not credible in his testimony.
Well, they're not really ALJ, aren't they hearing officers?
They're administrative law judges, yes. But they have a specialty.
Well, I don't understand. Are they lawyers? Are they educational specialists? Or what are they?
They are lawyers, and they also specialize.
Are they ad hoc, or are they regularly employed, or what?
They're regularly employed.
They're full-time?
Yes. And there are certain individuals that are assigned to hear only special education cases. And so they're familiar with the law, they're familiar with the expectations.
Okay, well, why don't you reserve the rest of your time for
thank
call?
You.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Hale. Mr. Rohrer?
May it please the court, my name is David Rohr, and I'm here on behalf of the School District of Wisconsin Dells. I want to start out by just making a few points that I believe counsel for the appellant stated incorrectly in response to your questions. First, I'm not aware that the child here has now been regarded or classified as autistic by the school district. As a matter of fact, I thought that's what this whole dispute that has now been continuing for some years was about the district's refusal to label him autistic as the grandparent and guardian has insisted upon. So that's one point that I believe she stated wrongly. Secondly, as far as the administrative law judges, yes, indeed, they are lawyers. They are full-time. However, they are from the State of Wisconsin Division of Hearings and Appeals, and they're not exclusively devoted to hearing special education cases. As a matter of fact, At least one of the ALJs that I'm aware of spends most of her time dealing with probation and parole revocation hearings. I'm sure that they do have some training, but the idea that they are educational specialists, I think, is incorrect. One of the big, or the primary focus here, I think, from the appellant, at least in the briefs, was that the court applied the incorrect standard of review in this case. I think the appellant had great difficulty in maintaining that argument for several reasons. Number one, the court did provide apply the correct standard of review. The court did not simply engage in its own de novo fact-finding. The district court took great pains to deal with the administrative law judge's findings and conclusions, and the district court also explained why she was not willing to go along with the ALJ's decision. The first point that I think the district court determined was that the ALJ had made both an error of law and an error of fact in deciding that this child was autistic. It is not correct that this child was ever medically diagnosed as autistic. That is not evidence that's in the record. The district court...
What difference does it make?
It doesn't make any difference, Your Honor. And I think that's where I'm leading. The district court did, in effect, chastise the ALJ for spending all this time on the label. And the district court said that this wrong road that he had taken could be ignored if it weren't for the fact that he then proceeded to look through that lens and evaluate everything.
Well, according to Ms. Hale, the issue is whether the child requires to have a person with him at all times in the classroom, and that would be superior to homeschooling. Do you have any comment on that?
Well, as the district court found, and I believe that the evidence suggests, that there was no indication that he would be successful with a one-on-one aide given what had happened in this period of time. He did have an aide in the classroom, the special ed classroom and in the regular classroom. He was unsuccessful when he returned to Lake Belton School with an aide. He then went to the SCAN program, which provided very intensive staff supervision, small classes. There was constant adult supervision. And this was a transition program. The intent of the district was always that if he was able to get his anger under control at the SCAN program, he would come back to the school. That's the very purpose of that program. That didn't work. Given the significant and violent outbursts that he had in the context of the SCAN program, there was simply no reason to believe that having an aide was going to make this child successful back in the regular school setting. The district court looked at what had happened in the past, too, when he had had a one-on-one aide, and that had also not turned out to be successful. Now, I should point out that even though the child seems to be doing well now and there is a one-on-one aide, there was a significant transition period before that happened. There was the whole, basically, semester of homebound instruction where he had a very good teacher that the district provided to him. Then when the child came back to school, it was on a shortened day. So there was quite a transition period. We're talking here about over a year that went by. Well, it's even been longer than that up to this point. So there's no reason that the district should have understood that providing a one-on-one aid to this student, given what had happened, would have been successful.
What is the time period that is in dispute? There's this 1 month in, I forget, is it 99 in December?
Well, that's certainly...
the hiatus?
November to December. He was withdrawn by his grandmother unilaterally from the SCAN program, and then it did take a while for the district to reconvene an IEP meeting and to explore options that might be available. So there was an IEP meeting on December 10th after he'd been withdrawn on about, I believe it was November 18th. So it's less than 1 month, but basically that's true, and basically that's what's at stake here.
Well, is that the remedy, that the period for which they receive, are looking for a remedy, or is it an extended period of time where this the school fell down on its job?
Well, I don't believe there is any time at which the school district fell down here.
I know you don't, but
right.
What are they looking at? I'm a little confused. It seems that this is seems to be the focal point, this period of time when there was no program. Now, the grandmother withdrew him because she didn't want him to go into SCAN.
Right.
That didn't work before, I guess, in different age groups or something, rather.
Correct. I believe they're also challenging the period of homebound placement, however.
After that.
Right. The grandmother did agree to that, and the ALJ found, and the district court agreed on this point, that he did receive educational benefits during that period. So I certainly wouldn't agree that the district fell down during that homebound placement. A lot of districts actually balk at the idea of providing homebound instruction with a teacher. I mean, it is not inexpensive, to say the least.
Well, they balk at it because of the expense, you mean?
Well, that's part of it, right? And I suppose in many cases they don't feel it's needed. This district was not motivated at all by cost factors, as the district court properly found.
Would the money come from somewhere else other than the school budget?
No, it comes from the school budget.
Well, you can't say that motivated by it. It's got to be a factor.
Well, I don't believe that the district considered that a factor at all in this case. If you look at the way that the district has treated this child over the years, that simply cannot have been a factor. As far as that 1 month period, the district court found that it was reasonable for the district to have taken some time to explore options, especially since his placement had never been changed at the SCAN program. The appellant, I believe, has argued in its brief that the SCAN placement was dissolved. I think that's the word that the appellant uses. That was never dissolved until December 10th, when there was another IEP meeting that was held. These placements can't be changed unilaterally. It's an IEP decision, and that continued to be his placement. The SCAN staff made some effort to get VS back to the SCAN program. There had been a great deal of time and effort put into finding this program and deciding which was the appropriate program. There were different alternatives, different kinds of programs. The district consulted with just about every person that was available to get input, and then arrived at the SCAN program. It was agreed to by the grandmother, the guardian. And then all of a sudden, when ZS started having problems there and these violent outbursts, the SCAN program tried other things. They shortened up the day for him, put him in a special classroom, but yet the grandmother decided that she simply didn't want him to go back. So I really don't believe the district can be faulted under these circumstances.
Now, he's living at home. I mean, he lives at home with his grandmother or guardian.
That's my understanding.
And then when the homebound instruction, or whatever you call it, that's where the teacher goes.
Correct.
It's not at some other institution or something.
No, he was educated at home by a retired special education teacher that the district hired for this purpose, rehired. He also was given occupational therapy at home, and he did get educational benefit. There were no times during this period of homebound instruction when the grandmother, as far as we are aware, had to call the police. It's important to keep in mind, I believe, that it was not at any time the district that had this child placed at the Mendota Mental Health Institute. It was always at the grandmother's request because of difficulties she was having controlling his behavior.
And that's an institution, restricted residential of some sort.
Correct. It's a residential treatment facility, And that was the primary purpose that he was placed there. He wasn't placed there for educational purposes.
What happened to Z.S.'s parents?
Your Honor, I simply have no knowledge of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that ever...
It's not material, just curious.
Right, yeah, I simply don't know the answer to that, Your Honor.
In this process, what consideration is given, if any, to the effect on other children in the classroom or in the school?
Well, I think that's somewhat of a factor, obviously. There is a provision under IDEA where if the child proves to be a danger to himself or to others, that he can be removed. You have to, however, get the approval of a hearing officer to remove the child. So that's always a factor that the district will take into account. But in this case, that that wasn't the primary factor.
Well, I assume if there's a danger, you don't have to go to a hearing officer before you remove the child.
Well, actually, you do. The other alternative is what's called a Honig injunction, where you can go to court and ask that the child's placement be changed if the parent refuses to go along with the proposed
placement. But even if the child isn't dangerous, there is there must be disruption if he's constantly...
There's no question there was disruption. There's no question that not only was...
I guess I have the same question Judge Caney does, whether that is given any weight in deciding on these placements or whether just the child's own welfare is considered.
Well, I think to the extent that there's this disruption, that is an indication that the child himself...
Yes, I know, but the impact on the other children is a separate consideration from the impact on the child. The question is whether... is entitled to any weight in these judgments.
Well,
under the statute.
I don't believe under the statute that, I think there are certain things that can be taken into account in terms of the program that's developed to try to control that disruption, but I don't believe that that's necessarily a basis for removing the child.
There's no balancing between the interest of the school itself and the child.
Correct. That is not, I believe, what's permitted under IDEA. There may be some school officials that disagree with that approach, but I believe that is, in fact, what IDEA requires. It does not allow a balancing error. There are a couple of other things that I think the appellant has ignored here. Number one, In challenging the district court's standard of review here, the appellant has ignored the fact that it did not follow the local rules in terms of summary judgment. The local rules require that the findings of fact that are proposed by one side must be disputed according to local procedure. The appellant did not follow that rule, with the result that the findings of fact that the district court made here were undisputed. So it's difficult, I think, for the appellant to challenge the standard of review here engaged in by the district court when the appellant did not follow the local rules. The appellant has never dealt with the fact that under the regulations under IDEA, it's not permitted for someone to find that a child is to be labeled as autistic if, in fact, their educational endeavors are primarily adversely affected by an emotional disturbance.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rohr. Ms. Hale, how much time does she have?
Attorney Rohr would look at the current IEP. He will find that the label of autism is now on the IEP. It has changed.
Now, what happened to the parents?
Your Honor, father has basically disappeared. This was a mother that had been on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So consequently, the child has
removed from her custody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The child was removed from SCAN because the teachers called Mrs. Little George and informed her this was not the program for that child. The teachers said this was not the program for that child.
They were not.
Because these were older adolescents. These were children that had problems with the law. These were children, when Mrs. Little George walked into school, she heard children openly state to the teachers, "F'n you and F'n this." That's the environment in that
SCAN country. You're talking about?
This is SCAN. That was not the appropriate placement for that child. The idea or the hope was that there would be smaller class sizes and it would be quieter.
She was on the team that decided to do some homeschooling, wasn't she?
There wasn't an option, sir. There wasn't an option. There was nothing else offered.
A one-on-one aid.
She has requested repeatedly for the one-on-one aid, and but for not having that aid, that child would not have had the problems he had. If he would have had that aid, he would have been focused, he would have been redirected, he would have been helped.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.